on a road to Emmaus. He withheld from them who he was initially. Why? Because if he had revealed straight away who he is, it would have resurrected old thinking. Yes, he's coming back. He's here now. We're going to conquer Rome. We're going to. And instead, he speaks to them, these downtrodden, dejected men, because, you know, you get very down when your plan doesn't... It's a bit booming, Rob. Can you try and change it a bit? Thank you. When your plan doesn't come to fruition, when the things you hoped for didn't come about. And then Jesus appears. And he walks with them. And he opens up the scriptures to them. What did they say? He left how our hearts were burning within us. And Ken's just going to come now and bring a reading to us, really speaking of that time when Jesus had chosen to sit and to eat with them.
Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see, I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is risen. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Just looking very simply at peace. Because Jesus says to the disciples, "Peace be unto you," a common Jewish phrase at the time, but filled with so much more meaning in Jesus Christ. At the beginning of our service, we saw what would be termed an enemy, somebody against Jesus Christ, calling out and challenging. And we see what happens, that she and her mother and so many others are now born again. That's incredible, isn't it? The last miracle of healing before the cross was of an enemy, of Malchus, being restored, being put back together, so to speak. On the cross, we see Jesus turning to a man who'd basically lost out through his lifestyle, was reaping what he sowed. And he says, today you will be with me in paradise. And then at the other end of the spectrum, so to speak, we see an experienced executioner who turns around and says, surely this is the Son of God. As we were saying on Friday, that's unusual, because to Roman soldiers, the Son of God was one person only, and that was the emperor. And here we see Jesus speaking to the disciples, just so incredible. You know, when you've done something for somebody, when you've given of yourself, in a sense, you don't really want to necessarily sit down and explain it again and again and again, but Jesus isn't like us. He didn't come in all his power and all his glory and just challenge people. Instead, he walks alongside them. What an incredible picture, walking along a road to Emmaus, engaging with disciples, sitting down and eating with them. I just want to draw your attention to verse 36 again, peace be with you, but I want to link it with words from John's Gospel. I'll read them out to you. In John chapter 14, we read, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you everything I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Well, what does that mean? My peace I give unto you. How can somebody give you their peace? If somebody's going through difficulty and hardship and struggling, how can you suddenly say, well, I'll give you my peace and you'll be okay? You can't, can you? What is Jesus' peace? What does he mean when he says, my peace? We recognize first and foremost that peace speaks of relationship. Peace speaks of wholeness, wholeness that comes about in a relationship. What Jesus showed us very clearly was what a relationship with a father was really all about. Whatever he went through, the difficulty, the hardship, the pain, the agony, he still had that intensely deep and powerful intimacy, that relationship with his father. And says, my peace I give unto you. I give you this relationship. I give you this relationship. This is what I want you to have. This is what I want you to receive. I want you to know this. And so for us, peace is the effect of reconciliation, the reality of reconciliation with God. It's the restoration of harmony, so to speak, between heaven and earth. It's about the one who offers freedom, wholeness, well-being, and his peace is like nothing on earth. It's not dependent upon your career. It's not dependent upon your physical health. It's not dependent upon the things going on around you. It's not dependent upon you becoming successful by this age in life or this age in life or this age in life. No. It's actually the depth and the dynamics of a deep and powerful, abiding relationship. I want you to have what I have, Jesus says. That's incredible, isn't it? That's what Trinitarian love is all about. Sharing, giving, reaching out, restoring, sustaining, uplifting, engaging, enabling. That's what God wants for you. So often religion will turn around and say, this is what God or the gods want from you. The Bible doesn't talk about that. The Bible says, this is what God wants for you. This is what God wants you to have. This is what God wants you to receive. This is what God wants to give. Scripture says, Romans 15:13, that God is the God of peace. Do you know, you see that dynamic, deep, powerful relationship that Jesus had. I am just utterly amazed as you look at him going up to Calvary, that he was supremely in control. There was never one second when he was caught unawares. Never one second. Not one, when he wasn't in control. Willingly smashed, beaten, torn. Willingly given, because he wants you to receive his peace, the peace of reconciliation, revealing the peace that it's possible between man and God because God chose to become man. That God came into our rubbish heap. You know, as we get older, maybe I should just say I get older. As people get older, they often think about relocating, don't they? Improving, do you know what I mean? Getting things better, getting a nicer house, better home, going for those holidays that you should have had during your life and things like that. Look at God's relocation plan. He came to earth. He walked in the dust of this world. He gave nothing but love. Not one day was there, not one minute, not one second when he did not give out in love. And what did he receive in return? A lot of hatred, a lot of violence. But it didn't dent his love. It didn't stop him. And he came in willingness for you and I. We could have a message today which is all about the historical reliability of the resurrection. Maybe there is a place for that. But the clearest sign of the resurrection today is going to be you and I and how we live our lives, because he has given us his peace. And we've got a few people just sharing this morning, just to share a little bit about what it means to them. And the first one is Anna.